Hidden with Christ Ministries presents Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of life. Now here's Rita with today's message.
Hello friends, this week we are taking a look at the subject of temptation. Temptation comes to the life of every person, whether they are a Christian or a non-Christian. But in the life of a Christian, temptation is designed very simply to draw a person away from God. It is designed as an enticement to sin, to break relationship with our God. How does temptation actually work? Temptation begins as it is presented as a thought to the mind. All temptation to sin, or you could say every sin, began as a thought. Every murder ever committed began as a thought. Every adulterous affair began as a single thought. Every bit of hatred and bitterness began as a single thought, which when nurtured, considered, agreed with, watered, grew until it became an action, and then sin, as you know from Scripture, eventually brings death, spiritual death, emotional death, and in some cases, physical death. James chapter 1 speaks about this subject of temptation. In verse 13 it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does he tempt any man." Verse 14 and 15 give us some insight into how temptation works. It says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then, when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." The very first step in this temptation process is that the temptation is presented. Whether you are tempted by a thought from the spirit of envy that tells you, look at that person, they're getting special favors, favorite treatment, they're progressing in their business because of it. And that spirit of envy presents a temptation for you to have displeasure over the success of someone else. Or whether it is a temptation to become embittered. The spirit of bitterness will present a thought to your mind. Look at that ill treatment you've received from that person for all of these years, when you've done nothing but be faithful and loyal to them, and look how you've been treated. This spirit of bitterness, or the spirit of self-pity, which says, poor you, look how badly you've been mistreated, it's not fair, no one ever considers you, you're always overlooked. All of those sins, whether they're self-pity, envy, bitterness, or lust, begin as a thought presented to your mind. James describes it when he says, every man is tempted. So the temptation comes. Is the temptation itself a sin? On the contrary, temptation is not sin in and of itself. We see that Jesus was tempted. Temptation was presented to him numerous times by Satan himself. But it says about Jesus, he was without sin. So temptation is not the same as sin. Many people are confused by this, and the very fact that temptation comes to their mind, whether it be a lustful thought or a temptation to become envious or angry or bitter, they feel as if they've already sinned. They feel guilt as a result of the temptation being presented. But this is a false guilt. This is a condemnation from the enemy of your soul, who is the very author of the temptation to begin with. You must recognize the temptation itself, the fact that it presents itself to your mind for consideration, is not a sin. However, what we do with that temptation determines whether we will go in the direction of sin or whether we will reject it and resist the enemy as we are instructed in James 4, verse 6. This issue of temptation beginning as a thought is very, very important to understand because it is also your understanding of that very fact, that spiritual truth that will assist you in becoming victorious when temptation is presented to your mind. In Harry Truman's biography, written by David McCullough, a most interesting story appears. President Truman was under incredible pressure while attending the Potsdam Conference in Germany. One evening, near the end of an arduous session at the palace, Truman prepared to leave for his nearby lodgings. A young army public relations officer, seeing Truman about to leave in his car, stuck his head in the window and asked if he could ride along. Truman told him to get in, and the two struck up a friendly conversation. Truman's driver overheard it and later reported this story. In Berlin, the black market was rampant, and everything was available, from cigarettes to alcohol to prostitutes. The officer said to Truman, if there was anything at all the president wanted, anything at all he needed, he just had to say the word. Anything, you know, like women, this army officer said. Truman bristled. Listen, son, I married my sweetheart. She doesn't run around on me, and I don't run around on her. I want that understood. Don't ever mention that kind of stuff to me again. Truman's driver later recalled, by the time we were home, he got out of the car and never even said goodbye to that guy. What Harry Truman demonstrated in that moment was he would not even allow the consideration of the thought of infidelity in his mind. He had decided how to deal best with temptation far before temptation presented itself. He ruled it out in advance. He would not allow the thought to be considered. When temptation is presented to you, it is not sin. However, the moment you begin to consider it and turn it over in your mind, consider all the possibilities and the ramifications and the allure of that sin, you have begun to step down that path of temptation that eventually leads to acting on the temptation, falling into the sin, and then receiving the results, which are death. James 1, 14 and 15 show us this path. First, the man is tempted. That's when the thought is presented. Then he's drawn away. That's when he begins to imagine, or you could say fantasize over what that sin would be like to indulge in it, to engage in it. That's when the imagination is allowed to pursue what the temptation presented to the thought life. Then lust comes in. It says he's drawn away by his own lust. The lust is that sensuous delight that is enjoyed by the very thought of the sin. When it moves on to say the person was enticed, you find that person going down the path of temptation and their will is weakening. Then we find the person yielding to the temptation. It says when lust is conceived, that's when the will now is yielding to the temptation that was originally presented to the thought life. At that point, the person is well down the path from temptation to full-blown sin and destruction. Verse 15 of James 1 says, when lust has conceived, that's when that person's yielding to it, it brings forth sin. Then they take the step of action to fulfill the lust, the imagination of it, and the very temptation that was originally offered. And then the final step is that sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Ask anyone who's ever been involved in immorality or adultery or any form of sexual sin. The end result is always death. Death comes over that person. Instant physical death? Absolutely not. But there's a death to the emotions. There's a death to the spirit when that sin comes in and does its work. God doesn't want you to fall into temptation, but we have to know, like Harry Truman did, that we won't consider the very thought of it from the beginning. Make a commitment that you won't allow your thought life to embrace any thought of temptation to any type of sin. You'll submit your thought life to God, and then you'll resist the devil, renouncing that, telling the enemy, I refuse entrance to your thoughts, and he will flee from you. God wants you to have victory over temptation that's presented in your life, and you can have it as you submit yourself to God, resist the enemy, guard your thought life, and God will give you the victory. Join me tomorrow as we continue on the subject of dealing with temptation.
Hi, this is Rita Langland inviting you to consider becoming a partner with Hidden with Christ Ministries. Our partners are known as supply keepers. A supply keeper is one who helps to supply the temporal needs of a ministry that preaches the gospel over the radio waves around the world. Paul said about his own financial supporters that they were partakers of God's grace through partnership with him in the gospel. Would you like to be a partaker of God's grace by partnering with us to keep Keys to Victorious Christian Living on the air in your area? Then please call us at 1-866-HE-HEALS and ask for a supply keeper packet. We look forward to hearing from you.
Join us again weekdays at this same time for more practical truths from the Word of God on Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. To receive a free teaching tape, please check out our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Again, that's www.hiddenwithchrist.com. Or you can write us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267. Again, that's P.O. Box 3267 in Tustin, California, 92781, USA. In the United States, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, that number is 1-866-HE-HEALS. We look forward to hearing from you.